Who was Jesus Christ? Well, Matthew 3 verse 17 says he was God's beloved son. He was not just a man like any other man. He was God's beloved son. John 1:34 says, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And they are the words of John the Baptist. The initial ones in Matthew 3 verse 17 were at his baptism, at the commencement of his ministry. And then when we come to Mark 15 verse 39, at the very end of his ministry, 3.5 years later, when he's impaled upon that stake, there is a Roman centurion standing at the foot of that stake, and he confesses, truly, this man was the Son of God. There is no other explanation as to who Jesus Christ was. He was the Son of the living God. Was Jesus Christ then a man as well as the Son of God? Acts 2 verse 22 says he was a man approved of God. And that's Peter's words on the day of Pentecost after the resurrection. And he says to those who had all come in to keep the Passover, the day of Pentecost, he said, Lord Jesus Christ was a man approved of God. A saviour was needed for man because he was in a fallen state. But that saviour needed to become a representative of the race he came to save. And therefore, he needed to be one of us. He needed to be born of our nature. He needed to be a man in order that he might represent that race that he has come to save. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The scripture is quite plain. He was a man. He was one of us. He was of our race. He bore with us the same propensities, the same lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye and the pride of life. Acts 13 verse 38. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Now the Bible makes it quite plain, and it's another subject, that sin entered when man transgressed in the Garden of Eden. And therefore what God was doing in his plan and his purpose was providing a means whereby that sin could be forgiven. And that had to come through a man. That man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:17 says, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. He needed to be flesh and blood, as we are flesh and blood. How then was it that Jesus Christ was both man and Son of God? How could that be possible? He was begotten of a human virgin mother by the power of the Spirit of God and not by a human father. The gospel account is quite plain that that's what took place. Mary, a damsel, descended from David and betrothed to Joseph, also a descendant of David, was his mother, and God was his father. So that on his father's side he was the Son of God, and on his mother's side he was the son of David. Therefore, a man partaking of David's nature, which is a nature common to us all. How was Jesus Christ a man as well as the Son of God? Well, he had a divine aspect. Matthew 1 verse 20. Fear not, Joseph, to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Now Joseph was the one who was betrothed to Mary, and when he found that Mary was with child before he had taken her to himself, he was inclined to put her away privately because he was a just man. Today that would not be considered of a thing. But in these days there was a moral code which came from God himself, which was adhered to by the faithful. But the angel intervened and came to Joseph and said, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Luke 1:35. "The Holy Spirit will come upon thee, and the power of the Higher shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." So there was the divine aspect of the one we're considering tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we said earlier, we need to convince ourselves that the Bible is accurate, that it is the inspired word of God. It is something that can be relied upon. And once having done that, then we can take these words and we can sift through them, and they can become part of our thinking, so that we too can appreciate the same things that God has done through his Son, that the things he claims that he is able to do for us will in fact come to pass. So when we consider this illustrious Son of God, we must consider these two aspects. He was beloved of his Father, and he was both divine and human. So what about the human side? Well, Matthew 1 verse 1, the genealogy. Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So his genealogy went back through the fathers. So that identified for us his human aspect. In Galatians 4 verse 4, God sent forth his Son in the fullness of time, born of a woman made under the law. And in Philippians 2 verse 8, he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, because he was found in fashion as a man. He was mortal. He was subject to death. He was subject to like passions as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4 verse 15. He was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like we are. And this is the amazing part, ladies and gentlemen. He was without sin. And the reason he was without sin was because God was his Father. And while he had a capacity the same as us to go wrong, he also had a capacity which came from his Father to overcome those temptations. And overcome them he did. Wasn't easy, but he did it. And therefore he was without sin. And as such, he was able to be a mediator between God and man. So then, was Jesus both human and divine? He was human as to the substance of which he was made, but divine as to the source from which he came. The spirit from which he derived his wisdom, and the pattern of the character which he possessed. He was human because he bore the substance the same as ours. But he was divine because he came from a source which was from the Father. Hebrews 2:14. "For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." John 6 verse 38. He says, "I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." So we have a unique individual. We have one who's not like us in that sense. God prepared him as a special vessel. And in that uniqueness, he was both Son of God and also Son of Man. In Luke 2 verse 40, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." He was filled with wisdom. Not half full, not three quarters full. He was totally full of the wisdom of his God. And on top of that, the grace of God was upon him. And therefore, he was the Word made flesh. And he dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full in grace and truth, which John says in his first chapter at verse 14. He had a capacity that we do not have. And as a result of that, he was able and he did become that perfect offering described in John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He was a specially prepared vessel. Therefore he needed both the human and the divine aspects. And the Bible goes at pains to teach us of those. And we are without excuse if we read the written word and accept the things that are plainly taught therein. Was there a connection then between Jesus and the Father that does not exist between God and other men? Yes, there was. Jesus and the Father were both one by the Spirit, which proceeded from the Father and embraced them both. God was thus in Christ, and Christ was thus the manifestation of God, which things cannot be said of any other man. John 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. John 14, verse 9 to 10. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. The Father dwelleth in me. That can only be on the basis that he was a manifestation of his God, of his Father. That those things which he said, those things which he presented, were in fact the very things that he had learnt from his Father. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, we read, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That's the testimony of the one we're considering tonight. God was made manifest in the flesh. Was Jesus then God, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father, as is taught by the doctrine of the Trinity? The doctrine of the Trinity did not come into vogue until the Nicene Creed in the 3rd century. Till then, those who claimed themselves to be Christian would loudly proclaim Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The man, Christ Jesus, begotten of the Father and endowed immeasurably with the Spirit, was distinct from the Father, though one with him. But as to co-equality and co-eternity, these are ideas which owe their existence to the speculations and disputations of church theologians in the 3rd and 4th century. They do not belong to the New Testament system of doctrine concerning Christ. This system teaches that the God of Christ disowned co-equality with the Father, who fills heaven and earth by his Spirit, and co-eternity is impossible in a Son. My Father is greater than I, he said. And how can a Son be the same age as his Father? John 8, verse 18. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. There is a definite distinction between the Father and the Son. Though they were one in purpose, and though the power of God filled the Son to cause him to manifest the very characteristics of the Father himself. John 14, verse 11. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. The head of Christ is God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 28. When all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all and in all. So Paul's speaking there in 1 Corinthians 15 about after the time of the resurrection and after the end of the millennium period, which is a 1,000-year reign of peace upon the earth. At that time, the kingdom will be delivered back to the Father, And the Lord Jesus Christ will be subject unto him and be the head of the body, which all believers who are found acceptable at the day of judgment will be part of. So then, who was Jesus Christ? He was the exact impress of his Father, Paul says in Hebrews 1 verse 3. He was of our nature. Romans 8 verse 3 says he was made in the likeness of sin's flesh. He was the same stuff as what we are. Hebrews 2:14, he partook of flesh and blood. Galatians 4 verse 4, he was made a woman and made under the law. What a merciful provision the great God in heaven has provided. In Hebrews 2 verse 17, he was made like unto his brethren. He died, not to appease the wrath of an offended God, but to express the love of the Father in providing a necessary sacrifice for sin. For it was that death came by sin. So life would come by the righteousness of one. In Hebrews 4 and verse 15, he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin.